am Amanda Nelson, and I'm here today to talk about 30 years of aquatic insect sampling in the Four Hole Swamp Forest. I'm going to switch hands. In case you know South Carolina geography, Clemson University is right up in the northwest corner, and where we're talking about is the Francis Beidler Forest. This is an aerial map of the Francis Beidler Forest. You can kind of see the braided swamp system. The lighter areas are the actual water in the area. And the yellow line delineates the outline of the swamp itself. That blue dot there marks the nature center inside the Francis Beidler Forest. So Francis Beidler bought about 1,800 acres of old growth bald cypress and tupelo gum swamp forest in the 1890s. And in the 1960s, the Audubon Society and the Nature Conservancy jointly purchased this area. Most of the huge bald cypress in this part of the swamp are about 1,000 years old, and the oldest tree on the land is about 1,500 years old. It's completely hollow, and you can actually walk up into it and look up and see bats. There's also a visitor center on the property, as well as a 1.75-mile boardwalk trail, and several miles of hiking trails, and a canoe trail. So the actual swamp begins as a small swamp stream in Calhoun County. It flows about 62 miles through four counties before it joins the Edisto River and the Atlantic Ocean. There are three major lakes in this particular area, thought to contain water even during the most extreme drought areas. So they're not true lakes, they're still part of the stream system, but we refer to them as lakes. There's Mims, Millard, and Goodson, about which I will be talking. And that's going upstream, Mims, Millard, and Goodson. Now this program is thought to be the longest running freshwater biomonitoring program in the United States. It began in 1976 with monthly sampling and then switched to quarterly sampling about 1978. We use a modified Peterson grab, which gets the surface or the benthic sediments off the bottom. Then the specimens are identified to the genus level. The same people have been taking the actual samples with this Peterson grab, but different people have been identifying them over the years and sorting. They usually use summer workers or people like me. So here are my sites. This is Mims Lake, and as you can tell in all the pictures, South Carolina is experiencing a severe drought this year. These pictures were taken in August. Generally, the water level is right about here, so it is really low. And this particular site is interesting because this is me standing at one point, taking a picture upstream and taking a picture downstream. So depending on what sunlight comes through, you get a totally different view. We did composite samples at each lake, and this is the second Mims Lake site. Now for all these graphs, the x-axis are going to be the dates going across the bottom. And these particular graphs are taxa richness and going along the y-axis. And as you can see, there's serious seasonal variation. That's why it's going, you know, zigzagging up and down and the mouse isn't coming back, okay. So, but overall, you can see the linear regression line has decreased over the last 30 years. We have lost taxa. I'm gonna move on to Millard. I like this one because you can definitely see that the water level is way down, but there is still water in the surface, or in the bottom, that is why it's considered a lake. So here's Millard 1 and Millard 2. This particular site we actually had to kayak to. It's really hard to hike to it. And again, for Millard, you can see that it used to average about 12, and lately it's only been averaging about 10 taxa per site. For Goodson, it's a nice little pretty site, 1 and 2. And again, decreased over the last 30 years. Now I'm going to focus on the EPT, which I think previous speakers have spoken about. The Phemeroptera, Plecoptera, and Trichoptera are thought to be the most useful for biomonitoring purposes. They're the most sensitive organisms. I'm going to start with Trichoptera. Over the last 30 years, there's been 19 genera found in general. There used to be regularly found two in Millard, and you can still find them usually. Ocetus and Phyllocentropus have been found since about 1983. They weren't really found in the 70s very much, so they might have moved in after that. There's been 18 species genera historically found in Mims Lake. Acetus and Phyllocentropus again are the most common. Tylostomus, Nectosyche, Comatosyche, and Pycnosyche used to be more common, but they haven't been found very much at all in the last 20 years, maybe a sighting here and there. And historically, there were 14 genera in Goodson Lake, and now we've only found Phyllocentropus since about 1996. Just so you get an idea of what these particular genera look like, Phyllocentropus is really neat. It's one of my favorites, actually, and because it has this spinneret right here that's used to make these fancy sand cases. They're considered burrowers, so they're actually below the sediment surface. And then there's Ocetus, which makes little twig cases. Kind of cute. Now for mayflies, there's been historically 14 genera found. Five have been found in Millard, and Cenis is the only genus since about 1990 that has been found. There used to be 11 regularly found in Mims Lake, and we still generally find about 3 to 6 per sample, which isn't the best, but it's not bad. And historically, there used to be 11 genera found in Goodson Lake, but now we only find Hexagenia since about 1998. And here are just some pictures again. There's Cenis up in the upper left. And then Hexagenia again, we're talking about burrowers, so they're below the sediment surface. Now for Plecoptera, for the stoneflies, there's historically have been about 3 genera total. We have not found any in Millard and Goodson since that very first 1976 sample. And there used to be 3 historically in MIMS. Taeniopteryx and Peltipurla have not been seen since 1979. And the last specimens found were 2 Perlestas in 1985. So we have not found any in the last, 22 years. This goes through 2007. So here are some pictures. The upper one is Perlesta, lower right is Taeniopteryx, and lower left is Peltipurla. But they are gone. We have not found them. So now the next obvious question is, what are possible reasons for this decline? Well, there's a possibility that there's been upstream pollution from development. I have not had the opportunity to look at land use changes over the last 30 years yet, but I'm hoping to be able to do that in the future. But these pollutions could be sediment pollutions, it could be chemical pollution. Physical and chemical data have been taken every time that the macroinvertebrate samples have been taken, but I have not analyzed that data yet, so I'm hoping that when I get to do that, I'll be able to see corresponding trends to the data, or with the data. And then you can always have the possibility of climate change. It's been a big issue lately. We've had longer periods of drought in the last, 30 years. This also could be a process of just general natural selection. And also I want to take into account the fact that there have been the same samplers at every site for the last 30 years, but there have been different sorters. Some of them, I don't want to call high schoolers not reliable, but you have, questionable people. And then identifiers have been different, and there could be changes in taxonomic levels of identification, things like that. So I would like to thank the folks at the Beidler Forest Sanctuary, all the previous taxonomic and taxonomists who have identified samples prior to me. John Morse, Byron Ingram, and Catherine Sigmund were the original principal investigators in the 70s. And I'd also like to thank the W.C. Nettles Travel Endowment Grant for allowing me to be here in Reno with you. And with that, I'll take any questions. Yeah?
The most recent drought, in terms of water level, has it dropped down? Has there ever, in a 30-year period of time, a monsoon, has it ever dropped down to that level before?
I don't know. I haven't. He asked if there's been any historic drought to the levels that we've been having this past year. I have not been able to look at weather data yet. But I want to, because I do think I noticed there's some dips in the 70s that kind of correspond to the most recent dips, and I want to see if there are levels. Plus, they take depth levels when they do the macroinvertebrate sampling, so I'm hoping that I'll be able to run those correlations and see if there is a difference or an association. Any other questions? Yeah?
Quality of the swamp itself, but could it be land use patterns that are causing the characteristics of the water to change?
He asked about Taeniopteryx is generally a spring-fed species, could it just be general land use changes rather than actual water quality? That is totally a possibility, but until I see like the chemical data, I don't know if I'll be able to answer that question to know. Yeah?
So we talked about autogenes, and what are the social sizes?
Ooh, sizes. I'd say they're about just, 2 or 3 acres. They're pretty small. And distance apart, I'd say in the range of 5 to 7 kilometers between them. They're basically in a chain. Any other questions?
Thank you.
Thank you.